a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Welcome on in, Cougar Tracks Podcast, powered by KSLSports.com. I'm your BYU insider, Mitch Harper, and happy to have you on board to the podcast once again. It's Monday, June 1st. Getting the new month started off right with a fresh new episode of the Cougar Tracks podcast. Thanks for hopping on board and joining me today on this new edition of the podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at @Mitch_Harper, Instagram at @MitchHarperKSL, also KSL Sports on all the major socials at KSL Sports. So here's what we got on tap for today's podcast. Well, before we get into that, leave a 5-star rating and review and subscribe to the podcast if you wish to do so. And if you do, you might get a reward. So we'll have more details on that in the coming days. But leave a 5-star rating and a review. It might be very beneficial to you in the very near future. So make sure to get ahead of that. We'll have more details in the coming days. So new fresh edition of Cougar Tracks coming at you here on Mondays. We're 94 days away till BYU football kicking off. But we're going to start things off with the nationwide protest following the death of George Floyd. And I know that we're going to talk some BYU football, some basketball as well. But I want to touch on this real quick because obviously this has impacted everyone's lives. This has had a huge impact on everyone. And I think just to remain silent, I think would be a little bit silly. And I want to acknowledge some of the individuals that are involved in BYU sports that have expressed their feelings following the death of George Floyd in reaction to the nationwide protests that have been taking place. And there was a protest, obviously, on Saturday night in Salt Lake City. There was extensive coverage on KSL, and it was fantastic watching Alex Cabrero, Shara Park, Matt Gephardt. It was great. Mike Hedrick was up on a building. Chopper 5 with Matt Rascone. The KSL 5 team, the best to do it. I know I'm biased working at KSL, but man, KSL 5 was fantastic in their coverage of Saturday night's protest in downtown Salt Lake City. And here on Monday, there's some protests taking place up and down the state. There's an 8 p.m. curfew in downtown Salt Lake. I'm based in Murray. There's a protest taking place here in Murray, and it's a peaceful one. The expectations that it's supposed to be very peaceful nearby. It's over by the Sam's Club, right off of the I-215 here in Murray. So we'll keep tabs on that here at KSL. But I do want to kind of share some reaction from BYU players, coaches, and alumni that have shared their feelings in following the death of George Floyd, because it's a big story right now with no sports going on. And this is just important. This goes far big. It's far greater than sports. Even if sports were being played, this should be at the forefront of people's minds. Matt Harms, new BYU basketball center, he shared an Instagram post writing, "I feel that it's important for me to start by saying that as a white man, I will never truly be able to understand the emotions and deep grieving currently felt by the black community. However, I believe that I must speak out in this fight against racism and injustice. As white people, we must first ask ourselves how we can affect positive change rather than discredit the experiences of people of color. At this time, we are not asked to give our opinions or interpretations, but instead to listen and learn as a people. We cannot simply forget. We cannot simply stand by as more black men and women lose their lives to police brutality. It is time to take a stand against racism and excessive use of force by police and show that black lives matter. If you are one of the people speaking out about property damage and rather than the atrocities committed by police, you are part of the problem, and I would plead you to spend time listening before speaking, end quote. That was Matt Harms, BYU center, new grad transfer from Purdue. Eric Mateos, offensive line coach, wrote on his personal Twitter, "Staying silent is too comfortable and easy. The quote, stick to sports crowd can move along. My heart is far too broken for our country to just hide and watch while I stay silent. I have too many people I love that are scared of the system. I'm scared for them." He then goes on to additional comments as well. That's a Coach Mateos. Kyle Chilton, BYU Sports Information Director for basketball program, he wrote a 16-tweet thread that you can go check out at Kyle Chilton. "It's been sobering following everything that has been happening since George Floyd was murdered by police officers in Minneapolis. I've been inspired by so many of the protesters that are fighting for change. I think they've proven that protests can make a difference." Again, that's just one of 16 tweets from Kyle Chilton. Rob Daniel, former BYU football player and NFL guy from the Baltimore Ravens, he goes to Twitter, "As an athlete deciding on what college to go to after high school or junior college, I would truly be interested in how the head coach, athletic director at this university feels about what's going on, and have they spoken up about it? If they haven't, I wouldn't play for them," end quote. Interesting commentary from Rob Daniel. BYU Athletics issued a statement on Monday night. "As an athletic department, we are aligned with BYU and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints to stand against racism and violence in any form and are committed to promoting a culture of safety, kindness, respect, and love. We pledge our commitment to join with collegiate athletic departments across the country to enact positive change and foster a fundamental respect for the dignity of every human soul," end quote. Tom Homo issued a comment on Twitter saying it was one of the greatest experiences of his life to play on the 49ers. He wrote, "My 9 years with the 49ers, I was the minority in the DB room. It was the best experience of my life. My brothers taught me much more than football and treated me with love and respect, and we accomplished much together as a result. I love them. Changed my life. I've got to do more." That was from Tom Homo, BYU athletic director. Diane Lake, formerly Diane Gunwoloku, now going by Diane Lake again. That's what his name was originally when he signed at a Northridge High School when he went to BYU, now member of the LA Rams. He writes, "For those who need a better understanding, Jesus in Luke 15, 100 sheep, but one goes missing. Jesus leaves the 99 and goes after the one. The 99, but what about us? Don't we matter? Of course the 99 still matter, but they're not the ones in danger. The one is." That's from Diane Lake on his personal Twitter, at Lake_era5. You can see the full article up on kslsports.com with some of the commentary. And then Chaz Ayu, he went to Twitter and wrote, "Utah County Sheriff's Office needs to be protested and hear our voices. Since my experience, dozens of people of color, black, Polynesian, and Latino, or Native Americans, excuse me, have shared stories of injustices just like mine that weren't publicly addressed. I won't let them get away with it anymore." That was from Chaz Ayu. And Chaz, he had a situation where he was arrested for a DUI back in February. Then in March, the DA's office in Utah County said there was no evidence of those charges. None. Not at all. No dash cam, no nothing regarding Chaz Ayu's, the affidavit regarding Chaz Ayu's arrest. And to think that Chaz Ayu had to go through that, was it racial profiling? I don't know. I'm not going to speculate on that, but, and I can't speak to what he's experienced. But the thing is that there was no evidence, according to the DA, David Levitt, who spoke back in March, and the case was thrown out. So Chaz Ayu's experienced this. A lot of different athletes and people in the BYU community have experienced that. And again, you can check out kslsports.com for a roundup of some of those tweets and embeds with some notes regarding the BYU community weighing in on the nationwide protest following the death of George Floyd. We'll have more coverage on kslsports.com as well. You can also read feedback and commentary from Utah Jazz individuals, Utah Utes, all over the sports spectrum. We've been kind of following it all at kslsports.com.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Got to change gears though a little bit, going over to BYU basketball recruiting news. Booth Gotch, former Utah Utes star, he announced his top five, and BYU is not in the mix. Not much of a surprise, to be completely honest. There was hope when Booth Gotch announced that he was in the transfer portal that BYU was going to be in the mix, but as the process played out, and it seemed like BYU was kind of in the rear view mirror for Gotch, and he had about 20 different suitors pursuing him, so he had a long list of schools that were going after him, so it was noteworthy that he dropped a top five. Here was his top five schools: Maryland, Creighton, Iowa State, Auburn, and Minnesota. So that's Booth Gotch's top five. Where does BYU now go from here? I mentioned yesterday an athlete from Florida, Andrew Nembhard. He recently withdrew his name from the transfer portal. He's now going to be a target on BYU's radar. And then also a new Utah Valley transfer who formerly played at Oklahoma State, but Mark Pope got him over to UVU when he was in his last year coaching the Wolverines. So a new name to keep an eye on for BYU is Utah Valley's Brandon Averett. Hope I'm saying that right. That was first reported by Vanquish the Foe. Brandon Averett, he's in the transfer portal. He's a grad transfer. He originally committed to Mark Pope when he left Oklahoma State, went to UVU, sat out the 2018-19 season, then played this past year at UVU under Mark Madsen. And if he went to BYU, he'd be a grad transfer, have 1 year of eligibility remaining. And that would be a big get for BYU if they could get him. But I think BYU is keeping their options open. They're going to keep their name linked to a lot of different guys. But the Florida transfer also would be very interesting as well. So that's the latest with BYU basketball recruiting news. And finally, before we wrap up the show, 94 days away until kickoff. A new profile here on the podcast, Freddie Levi. Now, it might be a name that you're not too familiar with. Freddie Levi has been a name, though, that's been linked with BYU football for a long period of time. He committed to BYU when Bronco Mendenhall was the head coach, yet heading into the 2020 season, he's only a redshirt freshman. It just, again, highlights the unique nature of BYU football recruiting and how you could get a guy to sign in 1 year and then you might not see him on campus for another 3 or 4 years or play a down or play in a game or do anything at BYU for another 4 years. That's just kind of the name of the game when it comes to BYU recruiting. But Freddie Levi, 6'3", 260-pound defensive lineman out of Fontana, California. That's a good place for BYU. A.B. Miller High School in Fontana. Signed in the 2016 recruiting class and then had a little bit of a late mission, so he missed 2016, 2017, and 2018. Comes back to BYU in 2019, the spring of 2019, and got some, you know, decent run at competing at a defensive line in fall camp. And I think towards the tail end of spring ball in 2019, he got injured, and it kept him sidelined for all of 2019 for the most part. So that's why he was a member of the scout team at most last year. He redshirted, obviously, last season. So he's entering 2020 as a redshirt freshman, going to compete along the defensive end spot. I think Levi is someone down the road that could be very good for BYU. I really liked his film coming out of high school. He had 68 tackles his senior year and was one of the top 15 defensive ends in the state of California in the class of 2016. Had a good offer sheet too. Had a lot of schools recruiting him: Colorado, Oregon State, Boise, Colorado State, Washington State. Good schools, Pac-12 regional programs were going after Freddie Levi, and he committed to BYU and signed ultimately with the Cougars. I think that down the road he's going to be someone that's in the conversation to be more competitive for playing time down the road. I think in 2020, I would still pencil him probably a third or fourth string guy, just because you look at the defensive in depth chart, and I've already highlighted a few guys already early on the countdown. You got Zach Daw, who I think is going to be in the two deep. You also got Gabe Summers, who's going to definitely probably be in the two deep. Fisher Jackson is a name to keep an eye on from Harriman High School, who probably will be a two deep guy. BYU's, I wouldn't say loaded at defensive end, because I don't think that's the case at all, but I think they got enough proven guys paired with a newcomer in a guy like Fisher Jackson, who coaches, I think, feel like they know who their top guys are. Brackenell Bakri comes back. Uriah Leotawa comes back. Those are probably going to be your two starters on day one when they kick off against the Utes in 94 days. So I think there's just simply a case of there's not much opportunity for Freddie Levi if everyone stays healthy. Now, if guys get injured, like we've seen happens quite a bit at BYU, yeah, a guy like Freddie Levi could be a very pleasant surprise that could maybe turn some heads for Cougar fans and surprise them with how maybe effective he can be. Again, he was a really good prospect in high school and had some good film. He played defensive line, linebacker. He even played a little bit of running back in high school. So he's a pretty good athlete. And at 6'3", 260, he moves really well. We just haven't seen him much in a practice setting yet. One, because he got injured last year. And then two, shortened spring ball. So there hasn't been many opportunities for reps for Freddie Levi. And I think that factors into the conversation as to whether or not he's going to see much time in 2020. But hey, crazier things have happened. But I think he also, him as a talent, as a player, highlights, I think, the improving depth that's happening in the BYU football program. I've always believed that the top half of the roster, I feel like the top half of the roster has maybe took a little bit of a downturn, a touch, since the latter half of the Mountain West days, kind of that golden era from 05 to 09 range. I don't think the top 22 is as good as that era, but I think players 23 to 85 are much better now than where it was from 05 to 09. And mind you, BYU is playing tougher schedules now than they did back then. So you got to keep that in mind as well. So I think Freddie Levi will be someone that, again, you should keep an eye on, maybe down the road, ideally. Because if BYU stays healthy, you don't want Freddie Levi to have to play. You can have him in situations where he can have opportunities to have success. Maybe a North Alabama, maybe a Utah State game, maybe a Northern Illinois, he can come in and get those valuable in-game reps. Because last year, he was one of the few redshirt players that didn't get any chance to play in four games. And now that he's used his redshirt year, you don't have that luxury. So you want to give him some valuable game reps to get development under his belt and get some confidence as he heads into maybe the back half of his career after the 2020 season. But again, Freddie Levi, number 94, as we're 94 days away till BYU and Utah kicking it off at Rice-Eccles Stadium on September 3rd in Salt Lake City. But that's going to do it for this episode of the Cougar Tracks podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at @Mitch_Harper, Mitch Harper KSL on Instagram. Appreciate all of you. The outpouring of support for the podcast has been fantastic. The download numbers have been great. Seeing the uptick once again as we're getting back to the daily routine of the podcast as we count down the days to college football. Excited to continue talking with all of you throughout the offseason. Stay safe. Looking forward to talking to you guys tomorrow here on the Cougar Tracks podcast, powered by KSLSports.com.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.